Yep.
All right. Hi, everybody. We're back. We're back. Bye. Took
extra vacation time.
I guess you could call it that. Sorry we took so long. Yeah. It's been a crazy beginning of the year. Personally, I needed the extra time. I buried 3 people in the first 4 weeks of this year. So I thank you all for giving us that extra bit of time. And then February was just insane. Like, just insanity everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, again, appreciate it. All right. So, while everybody's kind of getting in here and we're waiting for people and stuff, let's go over some stuff. We have our Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles Show, April 16th, coming up. One day. Monrovia Mall, we partnered with the Time and Space Toys. They're also the guys that run the Living Dead Museum. Great guys. Kevin's going to do that. I will not be there. I have other shit to do. Scott also has other shit to do. So, Justin, you're the guy from the con crew that gets to go. Just so you know. then we have the return of the Secret Warehouse sale, which is freaking awesome sauce. That's the 22nd of April, or the weekend of the 22nd of April. If you are normally a golden ticket person, those will be hitting the stores next week. You can go in and get your golden ticket. But it's the first time since we've opened it since the pandemic. So we're looking at an entire new batch of 200,000 books. It's been crazy. Let's see. Is there anything else that's really pertinent? Mills anniversary sales on the 1st of April. And, other than that, I think that's kind of what we got. So for upcoming NDC stuff and, yeah. So it's been a long freaking couple months, but
yeah.
So we're gonna talk about a lot of shit today and jam it all into a little bit time. So, because we have a bunch of comics to talk about, I have 3, and then we're gonna talk about Ant-Man, we're gonna talk about Mandalorian. I kind of want to talk about Wolfpack a little bit, yeah, so lots of shit. So you want to go first, Justin? You want me to go first? What do you want to do?
Are we going comics first? Okay.
Let's go comics first.
Well, I'm doing it this way because there are not a lot came out this week, but the beginning of this year so far has had some interesting books, some interesting series. Well, I should say December, starting from December into the new year, and I'm going to count that.
Okay.
So my first one here is, of course, me as a Hulk guy, one of my favorite versions of the Hulk is Joe Fixit.
Ooh, and nice.
The new series, which is only 2 issues. So I have the 2 issues right here.
Nice.
And I tell you what, was it the 3 guys that I love writing Hulk so much is Peter David, who's currently writing this. Greg Pak, who's writing the Planet Hulk, Planet Hulk's stuff, and then I want to say that Ewing, who did Immortal Hulk. It's these 3 guys write Hulk like insanity. But Joe Fixit so far is pretty good. Apparently, this takes a more detailed look at Joe Fixit when he was in Vegas, as you know, the security for the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out with a bang. First issue right off the bat is Kingpin comes onto the scene in Vegas and tries to take over this casino to get his foot in the door in Vegas. And know how Kingpin is. He's, for a human guy, he's pretty powerful. He tries to intimidate the casino, the head of the casino, and he calls on Joe Fixit. And of course, Kingpin's men are shooting at him. Mm-hmm. Joe Fixit just sits there and chuckles. He's like, this tickles. And he just kind of swats the guys away, literally just flicks his wrist and swats these guys away. Kingpin comes up to him, gets in his face, and you know, he thinks he can take the Hulk down here. I don't think they realize this is the Hulk though, by the sounds of it, just because before this, the Hulk was just someone who didn't speak or had any sense of intelligence.
Right.
Plus he's green and this guy's gray. So I don't think they haven't figured it quite out yet. Although somehow they squeezed Spider-Man into this. Mm. Apparently Peter Parker was doing a story for the Bugle in Vegas and just happened to coincide with this. I don't know how they squeezed that in, but they did. So Kingpin takes a swing at him. The Hulk goes like this and just literally pounds the Kingpin into the pavement. And he,
right.
You're not used to seeing the Kingpin get smacked like that. Like in anything, like anything right. that I can recall anyway. Granted, my Kingpin knowledge is limited, but even Spider-Man can't just smack him, the Kingpin, like that. And he even makes the Kingpin say uncle in French.
Oh.
He's like, say you give up. And he's like, he's using his toes, his tippy toes, to push Kingpin's head down to the floor.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and this is just the first issue. I'm like, this is going to be good. So,
spoiler, second issue, not as good as the first issue, in my opinion.
It's true.
But it is still good.
It's still good. And like I said, it's only two issues. I don't know if this is limited or if this is going to be a serious ongoing one.
I think it's a limited or a maxi series, I think. Mm. A lot like his Maestro stuff.
Okay, so it's going to be like 4, maybe 5, maybe 6 at the most size.
No, I think it's going to be a minimum of 6. I think 12 at the most.
Okay, so, but I'm down for it. If it starts this good, you know, I'm down for it. I can't wait to see, like you said, the second issue, it isn't as good.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to go into too much, except Kingpin gets a little revenge on Hulk a little bit.
Right.
Spidey becomes a bit more involved this time around. But I can't wait to see where this goes. So I'm down with it. I'm loving Marvel's kind of callback to characters that we know that are introduced into the universe, but we don't get like super detailed in their adventures at the time. Like they did this with Wolverine Patch last year. So it's kind of cool that they're doing the Joe Fixit this year.
Right. So. All right. Well, sounds awesome. Check it out. Now my first book. Superman, Dawn of DC, number one. First, shout out to Josh Williamson, who came and did the signing at the waterfront during Comics Pro. That was awesome of him. Secondly, this book is actually pretty good. It's kind of a good starting place if you know anything about Superman, like at all. It's a good pickup for number one. Lex is in prison. And Superman keeps hearing him tell him how to defeat people because Lex is trying to turn a new leaf. Perry is somewhere. Can't remember if he's on vacation or what, but Lois is running the planet right now, like the Daily Planet, not the planet. So LexCorp turns into SuperCorp. So Lex is pushing... He's trying to put such a new leaf of becoming a good guy that he basically makes everything in LexCorp become Superman friendly, Superman symboled. Like, he's just trying to do better to show Superman that he's turned a new leaf. So
he's overcompensating.
You could say that, yes. It's very good. It's not too overbearing. And I thought it was a good read. The art's fantastic. But it is a good starting position. It's a good number one. I really, really dug it. So, and I'm not really a big Superman guy. I haven't read Superman since Tomasi. And I really enjoyed it. So check it out.
Okay. I was going to say, I know Cope would be, he'd be raving about it.
I haven't talked to him about it. I'm going to see him tomorrow. So,
my second book, I do not have it here. It's in my box, but I did read it on my lunch break. So, they're doing X-23,
mm-hmm.
another solo with her. Not that I mind. It starts out very usual, like very, you know, I used to be an assassin and he's not in Krakoa and she's just kind of roaming the streets of New York, I guess. Okay. She rescues a couple people in a burning building, which I don't know why they keep doing that, but rescuing people in burning buildings. That seems to be between her and Wolverine. I don't know how many people they actually rescue.
Well, if we're specifically going burning buildings, that's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're sitting there and she's in her own head. It seems like it's a very, you know, she misses people. She doesn't know if she's doing redemption or she's a true hero. It's kind of like, it's basically like Wolverine only on a different level because,
like, sorry guys,
she's so young and she's early in this process where Wolverine had literally centuries and his memory messed with. So he's not nearly as gothy, to put it, you know, and emo as she is. But the book,
Immolverine.
Yeah. But they do, they try to get an interview with her while she's like recovering. And she's like, please leave me alone. I did this to help people. Please leave me alone. And then she goes off. Now they do a recall to all new Wolverine, where you got introduced to, I forget what her name is. It's one of the women who trained her while she was being trained as an assassin. Okay. I can't recall her name right off the top of my head, but she sees, I guess they've been keeping an eye on her because, you know, they want her back to do their bidding, whether this is a Weapon X. I'm assuming it is some branch of Weapon X of some sort.
Okay.
But they send in this kid who's like a UFC. He has powers, apparently. And apparently it's someone that's from her past that, like, she killed, like, one of his relatives. I think an older brother or something, by the flashbacks that they're showing. And the book pretty much ends on they release canisters of smoke that block her healing factor. So she doesn't have her healing factor currently going into the next book. And this dude's ready to fight her. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. And that's the end of the book. So it's an interesting first read. You know, it seems like it's a very typical X-23 book so far. Most of her books are very this way. So let's see how long this will last. I know the last series was not as good. Like, I liked all her as all new Wolverine.
I did too. I thought she was fine.
Yeah. And I liked Honey Badger. Like, you know, it was fine. I enjoyed it. I think they fleshed out her character. This seems like we're kind of going back to our roots of I don't know what I am type deal. So we'll see how it goes and where it is from here. But that came out this week. So this was only issue one. So let's see where they go from here.
God damn it. All right. Sorry. I apparently bagged the book, one of the books I wanted to talk about. But it's cool. We'll do it anyway.
It's fine.
Boom. Local Man. This book was amazing. Like, So Crossjack is like this hero. You can see him on the wall there. He's the one on the right. Kind of looks like a mix between like Shatterstar and like Maverick, I guess.
Okay.
So this team is very like early Image, like,
yeah, looks young, very like,
young blood. Yeah. So he apparently did something with the leader's girlfriend, who's another one of the girls, or is the girl on the team, and he gets banished to not be able to use his powers or anything. And he has to live back in his home in Farmington. So one side of the book is this flashback of them being superheroes. The other side of the book is him in Farmington now. And they have bad guys that are just as stupid as early 90s teams. And the one guy who is... shit, what is he called? He's not... Not the hedgehog. He might be a hedgehog. He is just absolutely stupid and lives in the same town and picks a fight with him at the bar. And because he used a trash can, like a shield, as a weapon, like the team came and like reprimanded him again. But everybody, including his parents, are like, "You're such a douche." Like, wow. So I'm curious. Yeah, so I'm curious to see where this is going. But this is a Tim Seeley writing and Tony Fleece writing, with Seeley doing some of the art, Simpson and Sabera doing the other art. It was great. Like,
so this is all over him basically just getting involved with the female on the team?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But they don't say what happened though yet.
Okay. So this could be something.
So it could be something real bad, could be something okay. But she's still on the team. So I don't know what happened. But we're going to find out, apparently. But I recommend checking it out. Definitely go get it.
All right. The last book series that I believe that start... I do think this started this year. Is the Planet Hulk Worldbreaker series. Yeah. It's currently on issue 3, but up to this point, I'll catch people up here. Basically, this is like we're on Sakaar, and this is like 1,000 years into the future. It starts off, I think I described this the last time we did it. So I think issue 1 came out at the in December. So 2 and 3 have came out since, I think.
Okay.
Because I talking about it now, it sparks my mind that I talked about number 1. I will just put that back then. And here's 2. Well, this is the variant. I like the variants on this are much better than the original. There's 3. So far, what is it? Pretty much everybody in the Hulk family is still alive and kicking. Bruce is kind of doing his seclusion, so he's not really involved. But it seems like the whole planet of Sakaar is turning against the Hulks, blaming him for all the planet's problems, because apparently it's in dire straits. So anybody who has Hulk blood is immediately captured, tortured, eradicated, and put to death. Like, it's not a very good thing for being a Hulk, apparently. Was it Amadeus Cho is like middle age, and was it She-Hulk is apparently hooked up to some kind of rejuvenation machine to keep her relatively young. So it's an interesting look of how Sakaar has turned against everybody that helped save the planet to begin with. Basically, the religious sect that worshiped the Hulk turned in. They're like, well, we don't want to worship the Hulk anymore, so we're just going to eliminate you, and then we'll run the planet. So, was it the latest issue 3? I guess the Warbound actually come into play here. So Korg is back. And I mean good Korg, not crappy Thor movie MCU Korg.
What? So, people love Korg.
Look, if you like the MCU version of Korg, that is up to you. Yeah. I don't mind him as comedic relief to a degree, but on the comics, he is a badass. So I prefer Korg as a badass in a good Hulk comic.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Groot. Groot was always a badass in the comics, and then he kept really bitched out in the movies.
Yeah. Well, plus he's cute. So yeah. you cutify him. What? It's fine. But you sell so much Groot stuff.
I sell so many Groot things. So, all right. So my turn now?
Yep.
Are you good? Okay.
Yeah. It's continuing. I'm enjoying the story. Okay. And we'll see how it goes. It's still kind of, they're trying to lure the Hulk out is the whole thing. They want the Hulk. They want Bruce Campbell, so.
All right. My last book. I'm going to give an honorable mention to Plush because it's been very good. But this book, Hunt, Kill, Repeat. Holy shit, was this good. So it's by Mad Cave. And it's about Artemis, who's on the front there. So it starts out in like regular world, well, like the gods came at some point and like came down and started really ruling the world again. Okay. It's the only thing you really need to know, preface of Roman or of Greek and Roman gods. So Artemis decides that she's going to give up her powers, fall in love with this dude, have a baby with a mortal. Zeus is like, fuck that. The hell you are. So he knocks her out, kills her boyfriend. She wakes up, the baby's gone. Like, she was pregnant when it happened. Wakes up, she's no longer pregnant, and then proceeds to completely kick ass for like 20 pages, looking for like trying to start to look for her baby.
And so it ends, Kill Bill. This is a great version of Kill Bill.
yeah. It's like Kill Bill, but it's Artemis. Like, it's very, very good. I really recommend it to everybody. I can't recommend it enough. So go check it out.
Is that the Billy Kincaid art, I see?
Ryan Kincaid.
Ryan Kincaid, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I read Spawn again, so I got Billy Kincaid in my head.
At least I'm pretty sure. Hold on, let me double check. Ryan Kincaid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have him do a thing for, I have a slab of him for art for me. So
that's cool. He's friends with Sora.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably get it for the show, but we'd probably have to pay for him. So,
oh, we know how that goes.
Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
Jing.
Right. So, all right. Do you have any more books, or are we going to talk about TV and movies?
No, that's all I got.
Cool. All right. Well, there was a lot of shit that came out in the last 2 months, so everybody should go check it out. Go to your local shop. Check it out. There's a lot of great stuff, including the Hulk Grand Design graphic novel form they kicked out from Jim Rugg. Also, Ed Pisker just announced he's going to have some... they're doing an omnibus of Hip Hop Family Tree.
There you go.
So nice. Go check that out. Yeah, it's going to be a regular omnibus size from what I hear. So,
oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah. All right. So now it's time we're going to talk about TV and movie stuff. So if you haven't seen some stuff, you may want to, you know, note the time, come back after you've seen it, and or fast forward so many minutes.
Spoilers.
Spoilers ahead. So let's talk about Ant-Man first, because that was the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed Quantumania, and I enjoyed it because it felt like a big Doctor Who meets Star Wars story. It was everything I wanted it to be. And honestly, the only thing I didn't that I thought could have been better was the CGI of MODOK's face. That's it. That's it. That's the only thing I thought could have been better. Other than that, I gave it like an A. Like it was so well done.
Yes. It's like its predecessors. The Ant-Man movies, if you're expecting, you know, like a Cap or an Iron Man movie, that is not what Ant-Man is. Ant-Man is action, but you have to remember he is just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to shrink and giant and grow big because of a suit. So it's a little different than what we're used to with the other two. And Paul Rugg is a nice dude anyway. I love him as Ant-Man. He's definitely like put him up there. I enjoyed the movie. Like you said, it was a little bit more science sci-fi than the other two. Like the other two, yes, he had it, but it was like, oh, it's just a gadget. So you kind of put it out of your mind.
Right.
Even when in the second one where the quantum realm was kind of flushed out a little bit more.
Yeah.
This was you're immersed in the quantum realm.
Right.
And I noticed a lot of YouTubers and movie critics are bashing this movie big time. And I'm like, I don't understand why you guys are bashing it at this point. It's not a Disney Plus thing where it's dialed down so much that you don't, people die in this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kang looked badass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. And they're like, well, Kang should have been more omnipotent. He pretty much was. It was a typical Ant-Man, a little bit of luck. And we're not even guaranteed that he is dead.
Right.
So,
hey,
why are you upset about this?
I got to run downstairs for a few minutes to take care of something. So you can talk about Ant-Man. You can talk about Mandalorian. Okay. I really enjoyed both. I'll be back in a minute or two.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Anyway, I'll continue kind of doing the Ant-Man review a little bit because I'll wait for John to get back about the... Mandalorian, which I have not seen the newest episode yet, so I am a little behind, but I did see the first one. But Ant-Man, and honestly, I'm an Ant-Man fan. He's part of my three big Marvel heroes that I currently follow, so I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was well done. The CGI was far better than previous movies and DC Plus shows in recent memory, at least within the past year and a half. I think the only thing I didn't like, and I might get like a little bit crapped on for it, was for those who have not seen it yet, a certain actor is in this movie. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you know who it is as soon as he's in there. And he plays a character, but it's more just him being himself and the character is kind of secondary to the actor himself. And it I was kind of like, oh, okay. It wasn't, and he wasn't in there for very long, so I can't really complain too much on that. But I felt it was a little off. But like John said, I enjoyed it. It was very sci-fi. You could definitely tell the costumes were very Star Wars based. Some of the outfits look something straight out of Episode One, but I'm not going to complain because use what you have. I'm cool with it. If anything, I will just say it's you see it for yourself and then you can do it. I don't know what certain people have against it or complain about it. I don't know. Maybe they're just being negative because it's Marvel at this point. I think it's cool to bash Marvel now instead of praising them when they do something right. So, but I like the opening of the Kang, the beginning of Kang in general, like other than Loki, please stay for the end credits. You will get a lot more of Kang double time. So I hope everybody gets their everything together. Get ready for Kang Dynasty is going. I think it's going to be really. It's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be Infinity good, but I hope it comes close. And it's well written. I think it was well done. So, I don't know how long John's going to be. I guess I'll just move on to The Mandalorian. I did watch the first episode. I enjoyed it. I kind of understand where they're coming from. It's been a while since I've seen all the season one, season two. But this looks like this picked up. I liked you got to see some of the Mandalorians still around. I'm cool with that. There you are.
Okay. Sorry.
Cool. I just started doing a Mandalorian.
Ah.
So.
I like that this season's actually going to focus on Mandalore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I like that you got to see more Mandalorians, that they're not all dead, which is nice because they didn't all get massacred like they did in season one. Right. So and then you only got to see the armor and the, I don't know what the other one's called. Yeah. I just called the brutish Mandalore.
Mm. Oh yeah. 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 What the hell is his name? Wasn't he in a cartoon or something first?
Wasn't there
a cartoon version of him?
I don't think so. Not that I can recall.
Like, you're talking about
all the Mandalores, right? That they, huh?
You're talking about the blue one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one who had the giant Gatling gun.
Yeah, or maybe, was that the, maybe I'm thinking of what the hell am I trying to say?
All the Mandalores in the Clone Wars stuff.
Like the original Boba Fett look to it. That's what I'm thinking of.
The Jango, kind of the Jango Fett.
No, like the actual, the concept Mando.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. But I love the ceremony, how they got the ceremony. I'm glad we got to see something like that, because you never really got to see the ceremony and how they indoctrinate the children of Mandalore. Mm. And I thought that was pretty cool. And of course, you got the giant crocodile sea monster thing. And that was cool. Seeing them how they would take care of this thing. Although they all looked like they were getting their ass kicked. So.
Yeah. Indeed.
It had to take. it had to take the Mandalorian to come in with his spaceship to pretty much knock the thing and kill it. So, but I enjoyed it. I haven't seen the second episode yet, so I am sorry that I haven't caught up on it yet. So
good.
Yeah.
And there's so much Bo-Katan in this season that I'm already excited about it.
Yeah, she looked miserable in episode one. Like, she's like,
she continues to look miserable at the first part of episode two.
I'm sure. Like, I'm surprised, like, they didn't have her, like, drunk instead of just kind of sitting there brooding. I was expecting her to be, like, sloshing. And no, she was just like, here's the servant droid, and there's just her. And then, you know, they're saying, oh, everybody left me, and I'm just going to be. I'm going to be emo chick now. I'm going to be emo Mander. I was kind of expecting, like, maybe, like, Cure in the background.
Like, right. Hold on. I'm trying to look up, like, why I think that looked like Boba Fett. So, like, concept Boba Fett, he had a blue helmet and a yellow chest plate.
Yeah.
So like I think toy. That's
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think that dude looked like him.
It was a nod.
Yeah.
Because
like in the cartoon from the animated Like the cartoon and the holiday special where he's like riding the Bantha.
You mean the Ewoks and the droid?
Oh yeah, that's what special? I meant. Yeah. Wow. Like that's where he's very
blue. I'd have to rewatch it. It's been like decades since that.
I
was gonna say I remember watching it when I was like five. I can't recall it now.
But episode two it picks up and it is still very good. I really enjoy it a lot. So some other stuff that has come out in the nerd realm that's pretty awesome right now. History of the World Part 2 has come out on Hulu and wrapped up today. Season 1, by the way. So it was really funny because I'm watching it and a friend of mine's like, this reminds me of Drunk History. And I'm like, you know, the first movie was kind of like Drunk History before Drunk History
really existed. Yeah.
So now it's like Sober History with the Drunk History cast.
Yes.
But there is some really, really hilarious things if you are not easily offended. I mean, it's a Mel Brooks movie, so you're going to be easily offended.
Mel Brooks, and then you add the cast of Jackass. Yes, it's going to be offensive.
Well, the cast of Jackass is only in the scene with Rasputin.
Yes, Aaron, that's the best part.
It's hilarious.
I wish that happened in real life. That
would have been
way more interesting.
Like the scene where they cut his dick off.
Hilarious.
There are some really, really fucked up Jesus scenes that are hilarious.
The foreskin in the bathroom. I watched that and I'm like, okay, I have to leave because I don't think I can handle this anymore.
Yeah. Well, this gets pretty nuts. And they do Hitler on Ice. Like, as promised. As a preview for the second version of History of the World from part one, Hitler on Ice. It was hilarious. Because the only people that give him a 10 at all are France. Everyone else gives him a 0 except for Poland. They give him a fuck you. And it's just hilarious. Hilarious. But I really recommend checking it out. It focuses mostly on Jesus. Jesus, the Russian Revolution, and the Civil War. There's also some awesome West Virginia jokes in it. It's pretty good. So
my wife watched it because she's like, oh, you gotta watch this. I was like, I'm kind of half asleep, so I'm just gonna end up falling asleep while watching it,
right?
So I will have to like watch it when I'm awake.
Yeah. um another nerdy, awesome TV show that has picked on Paramount. Actually, a couple of them. One is Wolfpack, and it's almost done with its first season. That's the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar in it. And this week's episode, you find out who she really is, and it is awesome. But it's basically like wildfires in Los Angeles area disturb a whole bunch of animals, and these high school kids run a bus, and all these animals are flying out of the forest, and they're like, oh shit, we need to run. So they all start running, and they all get bit by, or a couple of them get bit by a werewolf, and you find out the two of the kids were actually the werewolf's real kids being raised by a human. And so now they become a pack. And then there's another werewolf out, like the one that bit them is out killing everybody. They're killing a bunch of people. So it, like, it takes a while, but it's slow start. Probably the first like three episodes were kind of slow, but after that it picked up pretty well and is actually at a pretty good place. It's got a little bit of teen drama to it, but not enough to be like, oh my god, this is a tween bullshitty Twilighty thing.
It's not Teen Wolf again.
Right. Well, the Teen Wolf movie they made to finish off the series was actually very good. And Teen Wolf was good for like the first three or four seasons, and then it just got real weird. But the guy who did Teen Wolf is also doing Wolfpack.
Okay.
He's also the guy that does Criminal Minds. So
okay.
And lastly, on Paramount, another one on Paramount, Picard, Star Trek Picard. And this is like it's the final season, and it's the real like send off that the next gen cast really needed. There are some amazing Riker one-liners in this episode, the newest one, episode three. And like the biggest bombshell is that, spoilers, Picard and Crusher have a baby, like have a kid that he didn't know about. He's like 23, 24. And so Picard has a son. So it's very interesting because the first season was like, does Picard have someone to, does he have a fan, like the whole thing is kind of like, does Picard have family and people to pass things on to? And the first season was kind of like, well, his crew was kind of that. And then the second season was, oh, he's actually in love with this Romulan lady that oversees his house. And now it's, hey, remember your ex-girlfriend, Beverly Crusher? You had a baby with him or with her, and she never told you. So it's actually kind of cool. And it's been awesome. So Geordi La Forge's daughter is an ensign who's a pilot in this, but it's actually LeVar Burton's real daughter playing Geordi La Forge's daughter, and he nice. Played Geordi La Forge. So that was kind of cool. Seven of Nine does a lot in here, and it really picks up. So if you're a Trek fan, definitely check out Picard. It's very good. So
nice. I was gonna say I know there are a couple of things in Marvel have come out with the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one.
Haven't watched it, but I've heard positive things about it.
Yeah,
but it's same. Again, it's an animated. I think Marvel's kind of getting back into the whole animated, like in the good graces of the animated world here. So which gives me hope for X-Men 97 at the end of the year here. So I'm keeping good my fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it works.
You can't go wrong with the majority of the voice actors returning. So
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But
and we'll the animation see. Better be better than last season. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, the no last more. Season was pretty garbage.
Oh, I think I could have, like, when I watched it, I was like, is it me or does it look like a second grader drew that shit? It was so bad.
It was me. I was in second grade doing that at No, I was, but I was a little older than that. I was in like probably eighth grade, I think, when that was.
Okay. Yeah, because I know I was in, I was just getting into high school when it came out. But was, I watched it religiously.
When did it come out? Did it actually come out in 97? Or was it? No, it was earlier than
it
that. It
ended
was like
97. It okay. came out in 94.
Okay. I'd have been 13. So I was in like seventh grade. I was close.
Yeah.
I was close. So.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm trying to look up this other Marvel, just in case we kind of get into the Marvel.
All right. Little Miss Lucy wants to say hi to everybody.
Oh, look at that.
Hi. Hi. Hi, Lucy. Girl, Lucille.
Okay. It's not really giving me like what came out early here. So it's just giving me all the other the stuff that we're going to get later on.
And my nerd friends who are into music, you remember back in September I ordered a guitar. I finally got it. Like mid-January. And it's been awesome.
Oh, I have, hold on, I have to dig it out. I finally got something. I put it away and I had it sitting on my wall since December, since it came at like till at for just as Christmas came out here. So I have it, didn't do it on our show, the last show, but I finally got this back, and I'm so excited to have it back. There you are. There's my.
Oh, look at that. 7-0.
Yeah. Wow. There is the George Perez signature.
Wow.
And nice. I was really worried I was not going to get this back. But I got it back. I was like, yay. The last thing George Perez signed, one of the last.
That's awesome.
Things. So I was elated, and I didn't realize it was that good of a shape, or I would have got this thing pressed and clean. Probably could have gotten an 8 or 9 out of it.
But, yeah, probably. So, other than that, make sure you guys check out Three Rivers Comic Con's website for all of our guests and stuff. Buy your tickets, order your shirt. P. Craig Russell's coming, which is awesome. I don't think we announced that last time. And Ruff Braun is also coming, so that's awesome.
We're still announcing guests. We will get everybody eventually. We just, like I said, we've been kind of held up and life.
Busily distracted with life. Yes.
Life,
we'll call it that.
Life kind of went on everybody. Yep. So, but we're getting our stuff straightened out. We will be making our calls and dropping off posters. And
If you have, if you are a shop owner or a business owner, or just want some for your break room, let us know. Our postcards will be in tomorrow. So we're going to start guerrilla marketing the city. In the next couple of weeks. So you'll see it out. You can win tickets at our last cosplay karaoke that's coming up. We just announced our cosplay guests of Silver Fox and Sarah Spector. We have our last karaoke will be sometime in April. And that's pretty much it, I think. Like we kind of crushed this coming back thing and did it in 50 minutes.
Forgot to say thanks for Happy Valley Con for having us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
2 weekends ago.
Great first show.
Yeah, first very big good. Show of the year for us. So,
well, it was their first show ever.
Ever, yeah.
So they did a great job putting it on. They had some really good guests. I have a lot of hope for next year that it's going to be even better. Yes. So good job, those guys. Thanks also to Classic Plastics for having us there last week. That was a lot of fun. I hung out with those guys down there, hung out with Russ Cassidy a bit, and James Patrick, who did Astronaut Down last year with us, with Aftershock, but he did a variant for us that came out almost a week before the actual issue. So yeah. If that book ever gets hot, remember our version, the 250 copies we have, came out first, motherfuckers.
Yep. Yep. So you speckers out there, get those suckers graded at 9/8 across yep. the board.
Pat Olive variant cover. It's awesome. So, but we will claim that fame all we can. So, but it's great. James is a great dude. I had dinner with him. We just went to Buffalo Wild Wings and bullshitted for a while. It was a lot of fun. We got to see some other shop guys that I haven't seen. I only get to see like once or twice a year. So it was a lot of fun. I really thank everybody that came down and hung out. And the one guy who bought like half my booth, that was awesome too. less toys to carry back, right? It's the name of the game.
I just remember you messaging me like, so all the Star Wars stuff you gave me, gone. I'm like, cool.
All the Funko Pops I took, gone. It was awesome. I basically went with like what I asked for from Butler. It was great. But anyway, yeah, that's about it. You guys have a great night. And I guess we'll check you later. So check you later. See you next week, guys.
See ya.